for the water, and as they run down to those, Dolos in the centre in blue and pink, Champ on the right.
Broadcasting live from the Capital OTB studios, this is Racing Across America with Seth Merrow.
Good morning. Welcome to the Sunday edition of Racing Across America. I'm Seth Merrow. Thanks for joining us. Thanks also to our friends at Gulfstream Park for their sponsorship of this program, some of the other programming and events here at Capital OTB. Thanks again to them for their support. We'll have a stakes race from Gulfstream coming up in a couple of moments. They had the Royal Delta yesterday, but we're going to kick things off looking at some of the action from Saudi Arabia on the Saudi Cup card. But I also want to remind you, one of the promotions this weekend, still to come here at the Clubhouse Racebook. There's a double promotion here today, so swing on down, enjoy all the racing action, and have a lot of fun just doing that as you can every day here at the Clubhouse Racebook. But today, win a bet and a match bet promotion. Double promotion day here at the Clubhouse Racebook. You can find us at 711 Central Avenue in Albany. All right, it was fun day yesterday. Stakes-wise, it was a little quiet, but what there was of stakes, they were nice. The day started out in the morning. We had a number of stakes from Saudi Arabia. There were some American entrants, and I pulled up the three stakes that had some of the notables, the American notables, who could not do better than bridesmaid positions, unfortunately, over in Saudi Arabia yesterday, but made nice runs in each of those races. So we'll take a look at some of those. The Saudi Cup was run at about 12:40, and then the stakes attention turned to Laurel Park, and they had a nice stakes card yesterday that had been rescheduled from last Saturday. And with the reschedule, they wound up on a Saturday that otherwise was kind of quiet. So really the stakes attention yesterday was at Laurel. And we'll talk a little bit about that later in the show with our friend Frank Vespi from theracingbiz.com. They concentrate on racing in the Mid-Atlantic region. Frank was at Laurel yesterday, so we'll save those Laurel stakes replays for a little bit later in the program. Just before that, we'll do a little handicapping. But as always at the top of the show, some recaps from yesterday's action. We're going to start out with a full replay of the Saudi Cup. And I wanted you to, A, get a look at it because it played out into the strategy of the race, which the lead-up was all Nick's Go versus Charlatan. And early on, we got the duel and the matchup we were all anticipating. But Mishreef, who I talked a little bit about the horse on the morning show yesterday. As a European, was getting a little buzz. You know, if you were reading around in the week leading up to the Saudi Cup, clearly the attention was Nick's Go versus Charlatan. But if you were looking for alternatives, there was a little buzz on Mishreef, who went off at about 19-1 and was an interesting runner for John Gosden, European-based, owned by the Saudi Arabian Prince Faisal. So everything worked out for the Saudi Arabians yesterday. But Mishreef, in eight starts in the career, had made seven of those starts on the turf, was coming off of a poor performance in the Champion Stake at Ascot in October, so had been off for a while, had been training in England, snowy England, as John Gosden stated after the race. So the training was taking place, I suppose, much like the weather we're having around here. He said it had been kind of snowy and tough to get the horse, you know, the kind of work that they probably would have liked. But it all worked out. Out of those seven turf races and one dirt race, the one dirt race that Mishreef had run was the Saudi Derby last year on this course, on this dirt course, and had run second. And subsequently, some of the comments by the connections this year where, you know, I had some trouble in that race and we thought we could have won that race. And so the one dirt start was good, but maybe better than it looked. And as I say, you got 19-1. The flip side, as I say, what the matchup we were all waiting for was Nick's Go coming out of a win in the Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile. And then last time in the Pegasus, the Brad Cox trainee clearly coming in good form. Albeit it was kind of a quick turnaround from the Pegasus Cup in the 21st century. But we had talked to Brad last week, and yesterday Gary Contessa talked to Brad. Noted that the horse came out of the Pegasus and they were taking a look, seeing how Nick's Go was working and coming out of the race, you know, the, down at Brad's base at Fairgrounds. And they were happy with the workout. And so put him on the plane and over to Saudi Arabia. Charlatan, only four starts in the career, had come under the finish line first and all four of them subsequently the DQ from the Arkansas Derby, but had a layoff from the Arkansas Derby in May until a comeback in December in the Malibu, had won the Malibu pretty nicely, but only four starts, had only faced three-year-olds throughout the career. So Charlatan had shown all kinds of talent, but a trip halfway around the world, facing older, Nick's Go. It was a question mark how it was all going to work out. As I said yesterday on the show, both Nick's Go with the quick, relatively quick turnaround and Charlatan stepping into kind of new territory and lightly raced, they were both clearly very talented, but maybe there were a couple of question marks that had to be answered. Well, we'll see how they answered here as we watch the full race from the Saudi Cup. And again, at a mile and an eighth, this is a one-turn race over there. And again, I wanted to show it so you could see early on how the strategy played out, how the duel we anticipated play out, but also to listen to the call because over in Saudi Arabia yesterday, calling all the races, our own Travis Stone, a native right up the Northway Scroon Lake, and of course now he's based down at Churchill Downs, calling races down there, does a great job. But he shipped over to Saudi Arabia and was calling races yesterday on an international stage and did a great job. So I thought we'd also listen to the call of the Saudi Cup. So up next, yesterday's Saudi Cup, the duel between Nick's Go and Charlatan and the interesting European shipper, Mishreef, up next.
For the Saudi Cup. They are in the gates and they're off in the Saudi Cup. And Nick's Go goes straight toward the front. Nick's Go showing speed, and Charlatan is right with him. And Military Law is there. And Mishreef on the outside, up the chute in the Saudi Cup, and Charlatan's going to be the leader. Charlatan from that outside post has come on to take over the lead from Nick's Go, who backs off into second. So Charlatan takes the race to Nick's Go right off the mark. Nick's Go back into second. Mishreef toward the inside is racing in third. Extra Elusive moving up into fourth. Right there to Military Law and fifth. Tacitus is not far behind. Tacitus is racing in sixth. Sincere is now seventh. Great Scott moving up on the inside from eighth. Global Giant is now ninth. The Reeve was in 10th. Bangkok is 11th. Sleepy Eyes Todd is in 12th. Japan's 2-0 Wizard is second to last. Nine lengths off the lead as they move into the far turn. Max Player is the trailer. Nick's Go comes on through to take the lead. Charlatan sticks right with him. And the race is on around the far turn in the Saudi Cup. Charlatan on the outside of Nick's Go. Nick's Go grinding it out. Charlatan right there too. Mishreef under pressure back in third. Tacitus is asked to go now. Great Scott angles to the outside for the final quarter mile. They're coming for the top of the stretch. Charlatan has shrugged off the challenge of Nick's Go. Charlatan turning for home in front. Mishreef is now the challenger. They're off the turn. They're into the stretch. Charlatan digging down deep on the lead. Mishreef desperately trying to get by. Nick's Go's been defeated. Great Scott and Tacitus coming down to the final 100 meters. Charlatan has to fend off the oncoming Mishreef. Mishreef is roused to the lead. Charlatan tries to fight back. It's doing so. Mishreef, Charlatan. Mishreef covers the cup. An upset winner defeating Charlatan. Great Scott. Nick's Go settles for fourth. Sleepy Eyes Todd was fifth. It's Mishreef in Saudi.
What, $41.60 later? 21-year-old jockey David Egan on board. Mishreef gets it done. Again, the price, the Horse on the morning line was 6-1. And as I said, if you read, there was a little bit of buzz about that one. So the $41, a very nice price. And again, John Gosden said afterwards, quoted as saying, we were in quite deep snow when we were training. So again, a situation where to get the horse ready, they had to work a little bit in unconventional circumstances, shipped to Saudi Arabia, and picked up the $20 million on a dirt track. And it's going to be interesting to see what the rest of the season holds for Mashreef. Because dirt or turf, do they go to Dubai now and try the World Cup? I read that the horse was taking a little action in future pools for the ARC. Do they aim for the Breeders' Cup at the end of the year on the dirt or the turf? So it'll be interesting to see which direction or if they pick multiple directions, because they have all kinds of options now with that one. Bob Baffert was quoted after the race as being proud of Charlatan, and no disgrace there for the second place finish. Charlatan, Mike Smith said, you know what, he'd only had the one race since the Arkansas Derby. It was at 7 furlongs. Mike Smith said if he had a couple of races, I think he would have won yesterday. Just a little more seasoning and fitness off of the layoff since the Arkansas Derby. But he was right there. Mashreef went by, but Charlatan did not give up. Maybe a little bit disappointing for Nixco. Nixco wound up fourth in there, faded a little bit towards the end. Sleepy Eyes Todd, another American entrant, wound up fifth. Tacitus winds up seventh in there for Bill Mott and company, Judd Mott and company. And what, Max Player, 11th in the field was Max Player. So there's the results of your American entrance. But Mashreef looking pretty good in the Saudi Cup yesterday over there in Saudi Arabia. And again, Travis Stone doing a nice job with the call. Let's go back and watch the kickoff to the card. We'll watch the stretch run here to the Neom Turf Cup. $1 million up for grabs. Wanted to pull this one up because we had another American entrant, who, if you were rooting for, bet on Channel Maker, you had to feel pretty good. Late in the stretch, Channel Maker had a nice lead and just gets run down here. Channel Maker, as I say, takes the lead and you had to feel pretty good. But coming late is True Self. And what was notable here, True Self, ridden by Holly Doyle, the European female jockey, who's really made a name for herself. And, you know, to get it done on a stage like this, on a day like this, $1 million race, nice performance from Holly Doyle aboard True Self. And again, going to run down. You had to feel good with Channel Maker here, but you can see a little momentum. True Self coming, and we'll get up and get it done as they come under the wire. Channel Maker holds on for a second. Nice performance there for Channel Maker. Bill Mott and company coming out of a third-place finish in the Breeders' Cup Turf last time. Prior to that, it won the Turf Classic at Belmont. And they decide we'll ship over, and they almost come away with the majority of the $1 million purse, but just come up a little short as, again, Holly Doyle on board True Self gets it done there. And we were looking at $14 and change for True Self. Exacta there, True Self and Channel Maker, $52. Exacta in the, as I say, in the Saudi Cup itself, $41 and change for Mashreef. But the Exacta with Charlatan running second, $139 and change. So nice. Like I say, if you like Mashreef, you could have played around there and wound up with a nice afternoon. All right, I wanted to show one more because, again, there was another American entrant that, again, wound up in the bridesmaid role that was kind of the scenario for the Americans. But in the Saudi Derby, Cowan had shipped over. Last seen running second behind Cato River and the Smarty Jones down at Oaklawn. Cowan for, again, Steve Asmussen. And Umberto Rispoli was scheduled to be on board, but was substituted by Joel Rosario, which was interesting because Joel Rosario on the PPs was named on the horse that was the eventual winner. So I'm curious to know what the strategies were with switching up. But as we watch him come down the stretch, it'll be number seven, Pink Kamehameha for Japan, getting it done. Again, the number seven. And Cowan is the number two. And Cowan makes a spectacular late run here, but just comes up short behind Pink Kamehameha. The Japanese runners had a pretty good afternoon, as they say, with Cowan. And you can see on the outside there, there's Cowan really coming late. And yet for a few strides, you thought, maybe. And then it just, the wire just comes up a little too quickly. And so Cowan winds up second in here in the $1.5 million Saudi Derby behind the Japanese runner. And again, as I say, Japanese runner had Tasaki on board, the Japanese jockey. Joel Rosario wound up on board Cowan with the unfortunate situation with Umberto Rispoli and John Velasquez. And if you didn't hear yesterday, I mentioned it. Both Rispoli and Velasquez had their travel situation juggle up with COVID restrictions and rescheduling and whatnot. Gary Stevens was supposed to go over as part of the coverage team. He ran into some of that too and wound up not getting over. On the other hand, Michelle Yu was part of the broadcast team. She made it over. Travis Stone made it over to call the races. So it's just a matter of, seems like, timing and the rules changing at just the right time to have affected the travel of Rispoli and John Velasquez and keep that, and Gary Stevens, and keep them home. Some of the other Americans, though, got over there. Pink Kamehameha, $63 and change. Cowan running second, pace $3 to place the exact in that race for a couple of bucks, $254. And again, as I say, Japanese runners did decently yesterday. And the American runners with the seconds. Cowan, Channelmaker, Charlatan, all winding up in second with good performances from all of them. No reason to feel badly about the performances, other than you didn't wind up with the biggest part of the purse, but they all ran well. So nice day for the Americans as far as the talent and what they were able to do. Just wound up coming up a little short on that particular day. All right, let's come back to our country and take a look at some stakes action over here. As they say, in a few minutes, we'll focus on the big day yesterday down at Laurel. But first, in this segment, we'll go back and look at yesterday's stakes action from Aqueduct. First, it was the Maddie Mae State Bred three-year-old fillies. And, you know, interesting to see how this subdivision kind of shakes out during the year. Subdivision being three-year-old fillies, but of the New York bred kind. And it fairly lightly raced throughout the field yesterday, but already having shown some talent, so it'll be interesting to watch these. Brattle House was a horse that had won the career debut. I wasn't totally enamored with that one. Let the horse eventually go off at 5-1 is the third choice. But Brattle House, the number eight, is going to lead early and look pretty good. But Make Mischief, who had an interesting career, having won the State Bred Maiden Special debut at Belmont and then went into the Open Schuylerville and ran second, the Open Adirondack and ran second. That horse, the number three, and Brattle House is right there making it tight for Make Mischief. But Make Mischief and Eric Cancel will not give up, and they squeeze through on the rail and get it done. Brattle House finishes second, and Vacay, who I like for Todd Pletcher and Rapoli, that one winds up third. But it was a nice performance from Make Mischief, who wound up to be the 8-5 favorite. And as I say, second start of the career, second in a graded stakes race to Schuylerville, third start of the career, second in the graded Adirondack, then second in a state bred stakes race, shipped out to California at the end of the year and tried the Chandelier end of the season for this one. It was back in September, but wound up running a well-beaten fifth in the grade two Chandelier. Then sat off, moved from the Mark Cassie barn to the Chris Englehart barn, and had a comeback at the end of January against state bred optional claimers, won that nicely, and lived up to the early talent of the career yesterday with a nice gutsy win in, albeit, a state bred stakes race. But I'm wondering, with the move from Mark Cassie to Chris Englehart, if owner Gary Barber hasn't just kind of decided, you know what, we got a nice New York bred, looked at maybe the state schedule and said, man, we can kind of pick off our $100,000, $150,000 spots all year long against this kind. So, as I say, I'm wondering if that was why the transfer to New York-based Chris Englehart. But nice performance yesterday from Make Mischief, with already proven to be a pretty good-looking two-year-old New York-bred filly, and now a nice little three-year-old New York-bred filly. Over at Gulfstream yesterday, stakes action was the Royal Delta. Fillies and mares going a mile and a 16th. I like Mrs. Danvers, and the betting public like Mrs. Danvers as the 3-2 favorite. Mrs. Danvers, the number 7 horse, disappoints running 5th in here. But not disappointing was Queen Nekia, the number 5 horse. We'll get it done. Heiress 2 was logical. The number 3 horse under Irod Ortiz was the second choice at 2-1. Bayesian Girl, I thought, was a player. The 6 runs 3rd. But you can see there, nice performance from number 5, Queen Nekia, at 29-1. The second longest price on the board in the field of 8, paying $60.60. Queen Nekia going out for Safi Joseph. Corey Lannery on board. Had come out of a fourth place finish in a stake over at Delta Downs back in November. Did have some nice workouts coming into this. You know, and you look at the 29-1 and you look down the last few races for this horse. 2-1, 5-2, 3-5, 7-1. So it's a horse that had taken a little action. Probably not in this type of a field, though. Again, the stakes race at Delta Downs last time, optional claimer at Churchill, a starter allowance at Keeneland, was in a stake at Charlestown where the horse won and went off at 7-1. So again, it was a horse that you could have made a case for. You could have looked up at the board and said, hey, 29-1, Safi Joseph runner, has some talent, certainly. Had come into the day 9 wins in 31 starts, over $400,000. But you also could have looked up at the board and thought, man, those odds are maybe a touch high, but probably has some horses to get by in here, like Mrs. Danvers, who was coming off the big triple-digit win last time in the Cumley up at Aqueduct. But as I say, she disappoints and runs 5th in the upset in the Gulfstream Park feature yesterday, the Royal Delta with the $60 winner playing into the Rainbow 6 payoff yesterday, which I'll touch on in just a second. But before we move on, I wanted to go back to last Sunday and watch the Gander again. Don't have a chance to review those as they're on the Sunday stakes on Sunday afternoon. We do the recaps on Sunday morning, so we're more looking at Saturday, obviously. But just wanted to show this because, again, always like to root for the locals. And Lobster, who I think is a nice-looking little runner for our friends up in Saratoga at Eddie F's. Lobster ran a really nice second in here behind Nikki DeVest. And I think it's a second that's going to turn out to be okay because I think Nikki DeVest is going to turn out to be okay. That one wins off by 11 lengths as the favorite. But Lobster, gritty, holds on here for a second place finish over Perfect Munnings. And again, you can see Nikki DeVest running away. Wanted to show that too. But again, Lobster, just will not let him go by. Nice performance for that one. Again, Eddie F's based up in Saratoga. Lobster had broken the maiden in the second career start back on January 16th. Then they drop into a 100 grand stakes race and come up with a gutsy second, nice second. Again, the winner just ran away. And I'll talk a little bit about the winner too. Winner goes out for Jonathan Thomas and Bob LaPenta off a debut maiden victory that looked pretty good because of that, went off at just over even money last Sunday, and so comes out of a really good looking debut victory and adds that stakes victory as well. And I read, I believe, maybe the first Run Happy offspring to win a stakes, and this is an offspring of Run Happy, New York bred offspring of Run Happy. Nikki DeVest, nice little three-year-old New York bred now for Bob LaPenta and Jonathan Thomas. Kendrick Carmouche on board, but I wanted to show that because nice performance, A, from the winner, so a three-year-old New York bred to keep our eyes on. But again, I always like to root for the locals, and Lobster looking good yesterday for, again, the local connections. And I mentioned I would talk just a little bit about the Rainbow yesterday. It was hit. And when I say it was hit, I mean one ticket yesterday. Rainbow Six paying, let me circle this with the highlighter, the 20-cent ticket paid $712,000, 824 and 6 cents. Again, for a 20-cent ticket, I don't know how much was invested in. I'm sure it was not a 20-cent investment. But I went back and looked yesterday. Going into the race, Ron Nicoletti said there were two horses live for the entire pool. One was the winner, and another one was Ninja Dust, the one horse who went off at 8-1. But of the two singles, one of those was the eventual winner, All Good, who went off at 6-5. How would you like to have been the guy with the ticket and you looked up at the board and realized you've got the 6-5 favorite as a single for $720,000? That's got to be a pretty good feel. A little nerve-wracking, but it's got to be a pretty good feeling, as opposed to, it seems like most of the time, yeah, there are two singles, and you look up and they're 40-1 and 80-1. You look up and your single is 6-5. And All Good got it done yesterday by a neck, so it was a little bit of a nail biter for the nearly $750,000, but got it done. But I looked at the sequence. It was an interesting sequence. It started out with a $12 winner. That was the fourth shot in a field of eight. $47 winner, that was seventh longest price in a field of eight. $18 winner, fourth of 12. $6 winner, the second favorite in that race. The $60 winner of the Royal Delta, seventh longest shot in a field of eight. And then the favorite in a field of 12 at $4 and change wins. And some lucky better gets to walk up to the window and have them count out $720,000, but maybe picked up a check, but gets $720,000 for his trouble. So congratulations to whoever put that together. Again, $12 and change, 47, 18, 6, 60, and $4. So really only two logical players in the combination there. I'd love to know the structure of the ticket. Maybe we'll find out in the next few days. Sometimes over the following few days, somebody will ferret it out, and I'd love to know how much they played and what the actual sequence they put together was. But as I say, maybe we'll find that out over the next couple of days. All right, I'm going to take a break. When we come back, do a little handicapping for this afternoon. And then in a few minutes, we'll also be joined by Frank Vespi from theracingbiz.com. And we'll go over some of the stakes action from yesterday at Laurel Park. All of that when Racing Across America continues. Stay tuned.
Find your favorite teams, your favorite food, daily drink specials, and wagering on live horse racing? Legends Field Sports Bar, 711 Central Avenue, Albany. Get your game on day or night with 75 flat-screen TVs, tournament-style pool tables, a private banquet room, and live horse racing. So if someone asks you, where's the best sports bar in the capital region, tell them, Legends Field Sports Bar, inside the clubhouse racebook, 711 Central Avenue, Albany.
Capital OTB is now streaming live on Roku. The RTN Racing Channel on Roku lets you watch OTB TV live through your Roku device or your Amazon Fire Stick, rather than being limited to computers and mobile devices, which means you can now watch OTB live wherever you are. Simply open Roku, scroll to find the RTN channel, then click on OTB TV. OTB TV on Roku. Try it now.
Welcome back to Racing Across America on this Sunday morning. I'm Seth Merrill. Thanks for joining us. I just checked. I was kind of debating what track to look at for the handicapping segment. And Tampa the past few days has been off the turf. But I just checked, and so far, so good as far as turf racing down at Tampa. And I didn't even check that late. Yeah, we do have some turf action in this late sequence. So, again, And let me just look at our scratches, actually. So lost one in the sixth and lost a couple in the seventh, but I don't think it affects our thoughts here. But so far, they're still on the turf at Tampa, so I will look at the late pick four at Tampa today. And again, with the turf situation, there's some nice midweek stakes coming up on Wednesday at Tampa, which kind of got rescheduled, and they've been off the turf now for a while at Tampa with some wet weather, and it just hadn't dried out. But it looks like they're back today. But again, they rescheduled some nice stakes action coming up midweek down in Tampa, so keep that in mind if you're playing or looking or thinking or like Tampa or a little bit later this week. All right, let's look through the late pick four at Tampa. And again, I don't have an actual ticket. I'm just going to give the ideas, and you know, you can take a look later and kind of formulate and put together maybe your own sequence. But in that sixth race at Tampa, kicking off that late pick four sequence, optional claimer, starter allowance, a mile and 40, the trip. I have it 6, 7, 5, and 8. I'll put the Stifler on top. Plenty of early speed and tends to lack a little bit of heart in the lane and gets kind of run down. But Dan Santino sticks, has improved in the two starts since arriving at Tampa. Faded to fifth, two back, faded to third last time. So those two now set the horse up maybe to last a little bit longer this afternoon, but you also get a little bit of class relief, a little dose of class relief that maybe will help that speed last a little bit longer. So we'll look for the Stifler to maybe take them all the way around today. But Mystic Link, Sammy Camacho on board, a horse that may be the one that makes the move and runs down the Stifler. Last time did just that, was sitting just off the early pace and then made a late move and won, albeit against lesser. So that's the question mark for that one. But Sammy Camacho is on board for the win, on board. Sticks on board again today. Bold Painter was just behind Mystic Link last time, also with kind of a stalking move and a nice run late. The race three back, the horse was also kind of just off the pace and then led most of the way in a 12-5 claimer at Gulfstream Park West. Those bookend kind of a poor performance in the claiming crown, but I think otherwise, you go down the page, the last four or five races, other than the claiming crown race, are pretty good. All in and around according to conditions, maybe a little bit lesser, but looking at this particular field, probably in and around this quality of runner. Tufa, I could make a case for that one. Came over from Gulfstream last time and won nicely, so showed a little affinity for this track, and I could kind of tilt in that direction also. 6, 7, 5, and 8 in the sixth at Tampa. Race number 7, this one is scheduled on the grass. And they have limited scratches up at the Tampa website right now, and it wouldn't surprise me if they update that and we get some more later. But I lost my bottom pick, so it's not really affecting much here in the seventh. I have it 8, 6, and 1. The 3 has scratched Bernardino. But I put number 8 on top. Karamata goes out for Chad Brown and Peter Brandt. Started the career at Kempton in England, which means synthetic surface. Just missed there. That was in December 2019. So a long layoff, now moves to the turf. There are question marks, but, you know, it's Chad Brown, it's Peter Brandt. It's a horse that has shown a little bit of talent already in that European start. The workouts seem okay. I'll tilt towards that one on top. But AstroTurf for Owen Hardy, I think, is very playable. Hasn't been seen since the end of this meet last year. That's April of last year. But the horse showed steady improvement in the first three starts of the career, two of those here at Tampa, and they were decent finishes. So again, it's another one coming off a layoff. That's going to be the question mark. But what we saw earlier in the career signals this one probably competitive with this group. Implication in the third spot, decent near miss finish about a year ago for this one at Tampa. However, the horse subsequently moved to Churchill and had an off the turf race that wasn't much, admittedly, but it was an off the turfer, so I'll draw a line through that. However, also hasn't been seen since last May at Churchill. Moves into the barn of Mike Stidham, so the layoff is a little bit of a concern. There are a couple other horses in here that really there are three or four other horses in here you could kind of point at. And because my top three have those layoff concerns, you could really almost any other horse in the field you could look at. It's going to be interesting to see how the betting public plays this one. Chad Brown on his own is going to attract attention, certainly. But I think some of these others, Giroux for Grand Motion, Vicky Oliver has Carmichael. Bill Mott has a second-time starter that showed nothing in the debut on the dirt. That one wouldn't surprise me if it was interesting as well. But I'll go in the seventh race, 8, 6, and 1. Tampa's eighth race, maiden 16, Claimers going 7, 7, 5, 9, and 1 for me, although the 3 was a little bit interesting also. But I'll put Grimhild on top, Gerald Bennett, a trainee that first 4 starts of the career, the buyers have just nicely progressed in each of the 4 starts. Now gets a little step down the claiming ladder as well, but knocking on the door the past couple of starts, Grimhild looks kind of logical. Alternatives at a little bit of a price of 8-1 on the morning line. Race Day Speed could make the case there for this one, who has shown a little bit of ability number-wise compared to this field. And you're getting class relief here that, again, indicates with the numbers this one's thrown and going in against a little bit lesser, probably competes with this bunch. General Ginny in the third spot. First couple of starts were okay. Again, comparatively speaking, number-wise to this bunch. The subsequent 2 starts, not so much. But those 2 were both at Turfway on synthetic, and they were a move in the opposite direction so noticeably, you have to think, this horse just prefers dirt to synthetic. Gets back on the dirt this afternoon, plus a class drop, significant class drop. So General Ginny becomes playable. And my man Mike Deaney down there at Tampa has clapped for me for Bally Britt. Only 2 starts in the career. They were a little bit lackluster. Certainly the numbers were a little bit lackluster. I won't be surprised to see this one, though, be potentially a little bit interesting in here at maybe a price. So in the 8th of Tampa, 7, 5, 9, and 1. Race number 9 at Tampa, again scheduled for the grass, wrapping up the action on a Sunday afternoon. I have a 10-2, 7-5, the number 10, Catch You Later. 6-1 on the morning line for Wayne Potts. the last race wasn't much, but it was an off-the-turf event. And again, just seems to signal this horse is better on turf. The turf races, I think, match up very well with this bunch. And because of that, I'm not sure we'll get that 6-1. But any kind of value, I think, makes this one interesting. Gallardo on board, who's riding very well at the meet. Second slot, we'll go with Mom's Love. Another one that I kind of want to draw a line through the last race. Finished behind Clado's Run, who goes out for our friends at Bonaventure. Finished 5th behind that one last time, and the buyer was a little bit light. But the race is 2, 3, 4 back. The horse was right there knocking at the door. They were all at this level. And again, it's one of those you look at what this horse typically does and compare it to this bunch. The numbers don't stand out, but compared to this bunch, they're okay. Similar situation with In Honor of Owen Jr., who's kind of been knocking at the door the past couple of starts and typically fires in a way that is okay. Actually, in honor of Owen Jr., I'll take that back. I originally had this horse in the mix, and I put that one on top if it gets moved off the grass. Now I probably put that one in the winner's circle, but as I say, I've got notes and scratches here. I wound up leaving that one out of the turf mix, and I have Hoity Toity in the third spot, but as I say, probably put in honor of Owen Jr. in the winner's circle. But Hoity Toity comes over from Gulfstream, and I think on the class move could be a little bit of a player in here. So the numbers I'm actually on the turf using, 10-2, 7-5 in that finale at Gulfstream. All right, we'll head to a break. When we come back, we'll be joined by our friend Frank Vespi from theracingbiz.com. We'll talk Laurel Stakes action from yesterday, General George, Barbara Fritchie, and others. All of that right after this. Stay tuned.
Horses racing, people betting. It's been going on since before the Roman Empire. And the fastest horse is still the one that wins. Where there's gambling, there's cheating. That hasn't changed either. What has changed are the tools used to combat doping and cheaters. Today, professional horse racing operates under an aggressive anti-doping program, testing labs on par with the Olympics, and standards tougher than human sport. For 85 years, the Association of Racing Commissioners International has fought for safe horses and honest sport. ARCI standards form the basis for the rules of racing. Today, they call for a new expanded program to protect all horses, young and old. To join with them or learn more, visit ARCI.com.
County, an incredible destination to live, work, and play, with easy connections to more than a dozen cities from our vibrant modern airport. It's a short trip downtown to a hive of culture and amusement, from world-class shows at the newly renovated Times Union Center to reliving the past at the New York State Museum. From outdoor recreation to shopping to nightlife, Albany County has something for everyone. We'll see you soon.
Welcome back to Racing Across America. As noted before the break, joined now by our friend Frank Vespi from theracingbiz.com. If you want to follow racing in the Mid-Atlantic region, no better place to do it than theracingbiz.com. Frank, good morning.
Morning, Seth. Good to be with you today.
Happy to have you with us. And before we talk racing in particular, just fill us in what the weather was like, because it was a delayed program with the really... If you drew a line down the middle of the country over the past week and a half or so, everybody on our side of the country has been affected, maybe except for Florida, although Tampa has had some wet weather, but they were at least having some comfortable temperatures. But virtually everybody else has been affected in one way or the other, including last week at Laurel. So everything from last week canceled moved to this weekend. But how did things turn out yesterday weather-wise?
Well, it turned out to be a good thing they canceled, because the last week we were in the middle of an ice storm. And like, to give you an example, our car was clear at 10 o'clock and by 11 o'clock it was completely iced over again. So it was a good thing they canceled. Yesterday was cold, which is to be expected in the middle of February, but otherwise it was fine. It was clear, it was sunny, it was a nice day. It was really... This is a race program that often has kind of extreme weather, and that was about as nice as you're going to get.
Yeah, no, it looked, just watching the signal, it looked like it turned out okay. And, yeah, we had Dave Rodman on kind of previewing the card last Saturday, and he said, I don't know, it was a little icy when I drove in. So we were kind of, and then about an hour later, sure enough, things got canceled. But they scheduled, which worked out very well, because I said it at the top of the show when I usually – recap some stakes action. It was a little bit light otherwise, so kind of the focus was on Laurel early in the day, obviously Saudi Cup, but that winds up at 12:40, and so it led into a really nice program yesterday at Laurel, highlighted by a couple of graded stakes. And let's jump right in with the General George, and we'll watch the stretch run here, where it will be number 6 Share the Ride getting it done over number 10 Tattooed. Number 1 Lakai runs third. The favorite, Funny Guy, and I, last week when I talked about the race, I said I was going to tilt towards Funny Guy because I'd kind of been riding his horse since the Morrissey up at Saratoga, and he'd never quite followed that up with the promise I was hoping for, and oof, he didn't on Saturday either. Funny Guy, the number 2, winds up last as the 2-1 favorite in the field of 9, but Share the Ride looking pretty good with the win.
Yeah, he sure was. It's obviously he's a New York horse, but it was kind of a nice local moment too, because it was the first graded stakes win for the rider, Victor Carrasco, who he was the 2013, I think, Eclipse Outstanding Apprentice winner, but has put together a solid career. He's a good rider, but he's had, you know, injuries, this and that. So nice to see him get this kind of win. And you know, he put this horse right in the race right away, which turned out to be the place you had to be, because they were you know, for these kind of horses going 7/8 of a mile, they were crawling early. They went 23-1 for the quarter, 46 and change for the half. And so being up close was where he wanted to be. And then he kind of kicked away and went on home pretty nicely. Give a little credit to Tattooed, who ran from the back and ran into the exact, never really a threat, but at least came in and picked up a couple of the pieces, because it was not a race that was setting up for a horse from the back. But really, you know, a good effort for Share the Ride. And if you looked at it, I think there were two horses with graded stakes wins on the page in this race. They ran 1-3 here, so not too shocking how this turned out.
Yeah, having Share the Ride, having won the Fall Highweight annually, one of my favorite races on the card up in New York, and won the Fall Highweight over at Aqueduct a little bit towards the end of last year, but follows it up. Well, he had some races since, but gets the win yesterday in the General George. And you mentioned Carrasco having been the Eclipse winner. I mentioned it last week with Dave. It seems like Maryland is the breeding ground of apprentice Eclipse winners. And again this year, Alex Crispin. Getting it done with,
you know, it's basically, we're a year-round circuit. It's not the, you know, it's not the best riding colony. It's not New York. We're close to a lot of other places, so you can ride here and go other places. And it's the kind of colony where you're going to get some chances. If you're a decent bug rider, you're going to get chances here. Maryland trainers like bug riders, so you're going to get some live mounts. And Alex Crispin, another example. Kid's a good rider. He really kind of came on the scene at Delaware and over the summer, and has really continued that since.
Yeah, it's as I say, that whole Mid-Atlantic region over the years, if you go over the list of Eclipse winners, breeding ground, and then they go on to have great careers as journeymen as well. All right, let's go a little bit earlier. More graded stakes action in the Barbara Fritchie, and this one a little bit more of a jumble, as the winner, Hibiscus Punch, the number 6 horse, 41-1. The number 4 horse running second at 18-1. Club Car, the number 2 at 12-1. The 2-5 favorite, Hello Beautiful, the number 8, winds up a disappointing 5th in the field of 8 in here. As I say, a little bit of a surprise with Hibiscus Punch getting it done in the Barbara Fritchie.
Yeah, I honestly wasn't getting a Hibiscus Punch anytime soon handicap in this race. And it was really bombs away. I mean, I think it was a $900 triple for 50 cents. So, you know, it was certainly bombs away here. And coming into the race, all eyes were on Hello Beautiful, who you mentioned, Don't Let Sweet Fool You. It was kind of a neat thing. They seemed to be the two best sprinting fillies in Maryland. They were both trained by young women trainers who were kind of up-and-comers in Brittany Russell and Lacey Gaudette. So everybody was kind of looking at that matchup, and then the race goes off, and they're 1-2 for the first half mile thereabouts. Hibiscus Punch, who was completely dismissed, 40-1, sitting off the pace. Perfect trip, perfect ride from Caramanos. Runs right past them all and leaves them all in the dust. So a nice win. That was Caramanos' third Fritchie win in the last 7 years. So he's kind of putting himself on the leaderboard of the all-time leading jockeys in this race. The all-time leader is Donnie Miller, who won 4 of them. And this also was the first graded stakes win for the trainer, Justin Nixon. And he was kind of funny after the race. You know, you kind of say, well, what happened? He's like, well, we were sitting in third and it was a good spot. And then it was good times from there. So it was definitely good times for him.
Yeah. And again, you know, you mentioned Hello Beautiful. She was coming in with a 3-race win streak, stakes races all down at Laurel. And Don't Let Sweet Fool You was coming in with a 5-race win streak. The last 2 of those were stakes races at Laurel, and they went off at 2-5 and 3-1 and wind up 5th and 7th in there. So yeah, it was a little bit of a surprising result yesterday in the Fritchie. Let's back up one more race and take a look at the Wide Country. I always say this time of year, the three-year-old races down there at Laurel. This nice little stakes series provides some runners that are certainly worth looking at as the year goes along. And the Wide Country is for three-year-old fillies, and this one is no exception. This played out a little more formfully because it's Street Loot getting it done at even money and maybe making the even money look easy in here. She came in with a four-race win streak, but six wins and seven starts overall. It's Street Loot, the number five, over Fraudulent three, Salt Plage, the number two, runs third. But boy, this Street Loot, now seven wins in eight career starts. She's phenomenal.
She's terrific. You know, I was listening to some of the handicappers before the race, and people are going, well, you know, Street Loot has these questions to answer. And I was thinking, what planet are you living on that she has questions to answer? This horse is a beast. She's one, you know, I mean, she's hasn't gone a mile. She hasn't gone two turns. She hasn't, but what she does, she's a beast. She's, you know, at six and seven furlongs, she's just tremendous. And as you said, she's won five straight now, all stakes, all with the X-Man, gets a good trip here and just runs right past him. And, you know, she gives you the feeling when you watch her run that seven eights might be about all there is. But you make a lot of money winning races at six furlongs and seven eights. And, you know, trainer Jerry Robb also has Anna's Bandit, who is a horse that he has not been ambitious with. She ran in the Fritchie once. Other than that, she's running a lot of Maryland stakes, a lot of West Virginia stakes, and she's made $700,000. This filly's already won $400,000 and is just a three-year-old early in the three-year-old season. So you can reasonably assume you're going to see a lot more of this filly in six and seven furlong races, you know, here in Maryland.
Yeah, at seven for eight now, as you say, $400,000, and has been racing exclusively the first couple of stakes at Delaware, but since then at Laurel and putting that kind of money in the bank. Geez, she's just really phenomenal and continued that streak yesterday. The Nellie Morse, the one race before, this one for fillies and mares, $100,000 up for grabs as they went a mile and a 16th. And again, things played out formfully here. It's the number nine, Lucky Stride, getting it done at 4-5, running second, Landing Zone at 9-2, and Artful Splatter, the number eight, runs third in here. Chart Margin is a length and a quarter, but again, it is the chalky favorite, Lucky Stride, getting it done for Mike Trombetta. Coming off a win, interestingly enough, shipped down two races back, was at Laurel, shipped down and picked up a stakes win down at Tampa, back up to Laurel for the Nellie Morse yesterday.
Yeah, this was, I thought this was a really good effort by this filly. You know, it's not easy at Laurel to win from out there going a mile and a 16th, breaking from the nine hole, I think. And this horse was wide every step of the way, three and four wide throughout. So she was clearly best in here. And you know, this wasn't a race. She certainly figured, you know, she looked best, but she was better than she looked in this race, I felt like, in comparison to the others. I mean, this was a really nice effort, and I'll be curious to see where they go next. You know, I think her last defeat, you know, was a couple of races back behind Heiress 2. Heiress 2 came back to win the Grade 3 Allaire DuPont. So this filly looks like she's got more in the tank than we've seen so far.
Yeah, again, it was an interesting scenario to go down and pick up the Tampa win, back to Laurel for the win yesterday. So as you say, it will be interesting to see where Trombetta and company go next with that one. Fourth race on the card was the John Campbell, and that was of interest to those of us up here in New York because it was the New York bred, Bank It, getting it done. And I mentioned yesterday, as they were kind of loading in, I quickly looked at the race and mentioned Bank It. You may remember had won the New York Derby up at the Finger Lakes a couple of seasons back, and subsequently was out knocking heads in open company. Last time before yesterday, had won the Alex Robb against New York Breds up at Aqueduct, but they shipped down the Steve Asmussen outfit, ships down to Laurel for the John Campbell. And number eight, Bank It, gets it done over Galerio, the number seven. And the hard-knocking Mid-Atlantic runner, Cordmaker, the number three, runs third. But a nice performance from Bank It. Betting public was on this one at 8-5.
Yeah, this horse, you know, kind of bided his time and towards the rear of the field. But when Sheldon Russell, who was on him, cut him loose, rounding the far turn with a big wide move, this horse really took off. And that was a big move and kind of went on to win nicely. I thought Galerio, you know, he ran a huge race two back, not like yesterday, but then he doubled it up. He ran another huge race yesterday. He's run a couple of really good races, but the story here was Bankett. And I thought it was interesting, you know, Sheldon Russell, this was his second stakes win on the day. The first one, which is the third race, the Miraclewood, they popped the latches on top. He controlled the pace, drew away. This one, he comes running from out of the back with a wide move. And, you know, I talked to his wife, Brittany, who's the trainer of Hello Beautiful and the Miraclewood winner, May the Horse Be With You. And I said, is it an advantage, you know, having your husband be the rider and you can talk about stuff and whatnot? And she said, you know, I'd like to think so, but honestly, I think the advantage is Sheldon. He's just so good. And I think that's the big advantage of working with him. And certainly, you know, now that he is staying healthy, he's putting together a really nice run of good riding.
Yeah, and for folks who don't know, you know, that team down there, husband and wife, and I said yesterday, Brittany Russell, I looked at, as I was kind of previewing some of the races yesterday, I mentioned her a couple of times, and I said, yeah, she's 28% according to Daily Racing Form now. Look like she's like cut her percentage in half from the end of last year, where there was that whole period where she was about 50%, and a lot of those horses ridden by her husband, Sheldon Russell. But she had the end of the season last year that was amazing for her. And she's got some horses now down in Florida, and it seemed to take a few starts, but they're running all right now too.
Yeah, I mean, she's, you know, we had her on our radio show yesterday, and Nick Hahn, the host, asked me, you know, kind of where do you place her? And I said, you know, she's one you really want to keep an eye on if you're looking for the up-and-coming trainers, because, you know, her horses look good, they run well, they're doing well now. And this is the key thing, she's getting the kind of owners that have money that are going to send her good horses. And so I, you know, certainly the way things are looking right now, you're going to get used to hearing her name quite a bit and seeing her horses in important races in the Mid-Atlantic.
Yeah, and that may be evidenced by the race we're going to look at now, the final stake, the Miraclewood, this one for three-year-olds. And as I said, these three-year-old races now are kind of fun to watch because they'll be players as the year goes along. Will they go to the Derby or will they be Triple Crown horses? I don't know, but there'll be three-year-olds that will play in stakes action as the year goes along. And May the Horse Be With You was likely to be one of those. That one and Kenny Had a Notion were the ones that were worth watching yesterday in the Miraclewood. But I kind of, you know, you led into this nicely because May the Horse Be With You, owned in part by Michael Dubb. And, yeah, you start picking up those kind of owners, you know you're making a little bit of a name for yourself on the scene as Brittany Russell is. But May the Horse Be With You, the number four horse, you can see on the front end here, staving off Tis Mandate. Kenny Had a Notion, the number five, is the one there that is kind of plugging. Tis Mandate comes up and gets second eventually. Kenny Had a Notion wound up the 9-5 favorite, but also at 9-5 was May the Horse Be With You. But on the pools, the slight favoritism went to Kenny Had a Notion. Close up second choice was May the Horse Be With You. But again, both of those have had pretty good careers so far, with Kenny Had a Notion having won four of seven starts. But May the Horse Be With You came into the day yesterday. Six starts, five exact to finishes, now adds the Miraclewood. And as I say, probably a three-year-old that'll be interesting to watch as the year goes along.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it was kind of interesting because those two horses, Kenny Had a Notion, May the Horse Be With You, had met in the spectacular bid going 7/8. And they were really slugging it out in the lane, and May the Horse Be With You had a slight advantage, but Kenny Had a Notion came and pulled it out one by a neck. And it made me wonder, you know, and I asked Brittany this, like, do you think the horse is going to get a mile, or are you concerned based on how that last race went? And she said, no, she said, you know, we're really not concerned because the horse, he trains like he wants more ground. Sheldon says he wants more ground based on the training. In his races, he always gallops out strongly afterwards. So they really felt like he would get the mile. And the way the race set up, it was easy. You know, he popped the latches on top. Nobody pressed him. He was clear throughout in manageable fractions. And then when the running started in the lane, he just drew away nicely. So it was a good effort. You know, obviously, unlike Street Loot, who I think has answered all the questions, he's got some answers, you know, some questions still out there. But he's certainly a horse moving in the right direction. And I think, You mentioned Tiz Mandate. I mean, this horse was in a different zip code early. You know, he was a mile behind, runs into the exacta here, and he kind of did something similar in the spectacular bid. And you just wonder if they're going to be able to figure out a way to get this horse a little more engaged a little earlier. So when he unleashes that run, he's running into the front rather than running into the exacta and the triple. So that'll be I think he's a little interesting to watch as well. This race is kind of the traditional kickoff, quote unquote, of the Maryland route to the Preakness. You got this, the Miracle Wood. Then next month is the private terms. And the month after that is the Tessio. And then, of course, it's May and it's Preakness time. So, you know, occasionally you get horses that kind of run this table and go right to the Preakness. I guess the last one would have been Always Mining a couple of years ago. So it'll be interesting to see which, you know, how these horses go forward from here.
Yeah, and you mentioned Tiz Mandate. As I'm looking, only three starts coming into yesterday. The buyer number has improved every start. And I'm guessing, I haven't seen buyers yet, but I'm guessing probably improved from the 71 last time to a better number yesterday. So as you say, maybe they figure out, or maybe the horse himself just kind of figures out after a few starts to get in a little bit earlier.
Yeah. I mean, because the horse clearly has talent. He made up about 10 lanes from a half mile to home yesterday. So he's got a little bit of talent, and they just got to, you know, you just can't be, you know, particularly in this kind of company and better company if you want to get there, you just can't spot them as much ground as he's spotting them. I mean, the pace was not that fast, and he's 15 lanes off it. You just can't do that and run those kind of horses down. But he's got some talent, and you know, he might be a fun one to have in the stable now.
Yeah, as I say, those three-year-old races and that winter schedule at Laurel worth paying attention to, and no exception yesterday, but also the stakes action was a lot of fun otherwise yesterday as well. So, Frank, I'm glad we got you on board to kind of review some of that action. Horses that'll be fun to watch going forward. And as always, I will again note that if folks want to follow that Mid-Atlantic region, theracingbiz.com is the place to do it. Frank, always appreciate the visit, and we'll talk again.
Sounds good, Seth. Thanks very much, and good luck at the windows today.
Appreciate it. Frank Thesby, theracingbiz.com. All right, we'll wind it up for this Sunday edition of Racing Across America. I will remind you once again, there is a double promotion today here at the Clubhouse Racebook. Win a bet and a match bet promotion, so you can come down and watch the racing action and potentially have a little fun with the match bet and the win a bet as well. Yesterday we had the players' bankroll, and I went out, I don't know, towards the end of the afternoon, and there was a little money in the kitty, but I didn't hear the final result of the players' bankroll. Hopefully when I went out, there were still two or three bets to be decided. So hopefully the players' bankroll hit for a nice amount yesterday, but that was a fun promotion that is worth watching going forward as well, because you, the players, get to make the bankroll plays on those players' bankroll teams, and those will be coming up again in the future as well. All right, I'm going to wrap it up for Racing Across America for a Sunday morning. Again, some stakes recaps. Saudi Cup was fun yesterday. The nice stakes action at Laurel, as I say, kind of took the stakes attention yesterday after the Saudi Cup. We had that stake at Aqueduct and Gulfstream, and there were a couple other stakes around the country as well. But otherwise, it was, you know, it was overall fairly a quiet day. So Laurel got a nice amount of attention with the General George and the Barbara Fritchie, and of course the Saudi Cup played out. You know, I think whenever these foreign races are run, you want to root for the Americans. But I think we got a pretty good race with a horse that, if you were playing, you could have made a case for, as they say. There was a little buzz for Misharif in the press leading up to the weekend. And at 19-1, you could have jumped in and maybe got a little bit of piece of that action that would have made you happy going into the rest of Saturday afternoon. But again, the bridesmaid performances, Cowan and Channel Maker, they were perfectly respectable in big money races, but it left us a little bit, always rooting for the Americans in those situations, and we came up just a little bit short over in Saudi Arabia yesterday. But overall, fun day, lots of action. I want to say, here on the network, when I was in during the afternoon, we probably, normally there are four tracks that we're looking at. I'm typically looking at three, handicapping, but there's a fourth. But yesterday, at one point, we probably were moving around six tracks, because by the time Santa Anita got in, we also had some Laurel in with the big stakes action. And then, as usual, Gulfstream, Tampa, Aqueduct, and Fairgrounds were in the mix. So, yeah, there was a point in the afternoon where there was plenty of action to enjoy. Hopefully you did. Hopefully you cashed some tickets. Hopefully we'll make it all happen again. Probably about an hour and a half or so when we come back for OTB Live for a Sunday afternoon. Once again, I want to thank our friends at Gulfstream for their sponsorship. Again, appreciate their support of the programming and events here at Capital OTB. All right, Seth Merrill in on a Sunday morning racing across America. We're going to wrap it up, put a bow on it. But again, we'll see you about an hour and a half or so for OTB Live. So stay tuned in the meantime, and we'll see you then.
You're watching OTB TV, a service of Capital Off-Track Betting.